Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm, of course, coming to you from the state of North Carolina. I'm going to have to steal Brother X his phrase that he says whenever he calls into some of the stations you hear on Black Talk Radio, but he calls from Chicago. He says it's the most racist city in the United States, but I'm telling you, this is perhaps one of the, historically one of the racist states ever in the United States, and that's North Carolina. The more I learn about its history, you know, so yeah, I'm broadcasting to you from deep behind enemy lines of USA Inc. Hope that you are safe and sound behind these enemy lines, your family members, but I know at the rate of the slave catching that they're doing, that, you know, every so many minutes, I think, you know, we know the phrase every 24 hours or 28 hours a black person is killed by this, that, and the other, usually having to deal with law enforcement. But I'm telling you, you know, it's the rate of black death in this country is worse than just citing the police statistics and what have you. When you just take in the totality of it all, it's just shameful. It's just shameful. Today, really just want to have an open discussion today on the roots, the American roots. Let me put it that way, the American roots of Hitler's final solution. I've come to this topic because of the conversation that has been going on ever since Snoop Doggy Dogg said what he said about boycotting the Roots, the remake, which is on air right now, I believe. But anyway, you know, people were talking about it. A lot of people said that they understood where he was coming from. Then you had others who was just calling him a dumb pothead and this and that. You know, Roland Martin saw what he had to say, and he was just really going off into personal attacks on Snoop Dogg instead of just, you know, staying focused on the topic at hand, which is, do we want to keep seeing remakes of all these slave movies, as they're called, that's causing a whole lot of this traumatic stress, okay, that a lot of people are suffering from. Again, media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. And if you sit up watching depressing movies all the time, you're going to be a depressed person. I mean, everything has its place. We must have balance and what have you. So that just, you know, Snoop was talking about what's about some of these other movies. Let's make some positive movies. And yeah, we need all that too. But we also need more movies about the real history of the United States, and before the United States, the colonies and everything that was taking place, you know. And so how does this connect to Hitler's final solution? Well, people have been saying, and I talked about it last night on New Abolitionist Radio, mentioned it on BTR News the day before, but it seems that whenever we start talking about the historic oppression of people, black people always use the card, the "what would the Jews do" card. That's what we'll call it, the WWJD card. What would the Jews do? The Jews wouldn't be complaining about Holocaust movies and all that. And I've discussed how those Holocaust movies don't even compare to the level of violence that's depicted in them, the just dehumanization, the just, I mean, it just doesn't compare. And I've seen quite a few World War II movies. I've seen quite a few so-called Holocaust movies and what have you that just focus on the Jewish victims of the Nazi party. They don't really focus on the Gypsies or the Afro-Germans or the people with birth, you know, defects and disabilities, mental disabilities. Most of the movies are just focusing on that group of the Nazis' victims and what have you. And so, you know, you have people who are Jewish, like Steven Spielberg. You have a lot of Jewish producers, and I know it might seem stereotypical, but it is. There's no doubt that and when it comes to entertainment industry, that Jewish people really do have a lock on that industry. Just like, you know, let's bring it home to the black community. When we're talking about these hair care places and what have you, where you go buy these products, the Koreans got that on lock in the United States. You know what I'm saying? They really got that industry on lock. And so the Jews got Hollywood on lock. They got television production on lock. They got Broadway on lock and what have you. And so, of course, it makes sense that they're going to tell their story. See, we are not in control like that of our own stories. Okay, we're just not simply. So I don't feel like we should be talking about what would the Jews do. You know, it's totally different situation with them. But if we want to talk about, you know, the Holocaust and what have you, let's talk about it again, connecting it back to the source, and that is the American roots of Hitler's final solution. The final solution, of course, being the extermination program of all the people I mentioned. You know, white people classified as Jews, Gypsies, again, Afro-Germans, anybody with birth defects, homosexuals, gay people, anybody like that. That the final solution that Hitler had to purify the German race, the German society, was to exterminate these people. And, you know, I kind of feel like, not that I feel like, but I think that the evidence would suggest that the reason that so many other white supremacists fell out with Hitler was because Hitler was going to unravel the system of white supremacy as it was being practiced in America. Okay, because, you know, the whole, again, we got to go back to slavery. We got to go back to the slave codes that first introduced white supremacy into law, you know, in governing the society and what have you, stripping of, you know, black people of their Second Amendment rights, stripping them of, you know, right to self-defense. You know, just all kind of subjugation, which, you know, we call it Jim Crow, but it, you know, it started way before the 1800s. This started in the 1600s is where we had to you know, go back to. And so, you know, when the other, let's say, you know, let me break it down, the Bacon's Rebellion. Let's take it to Bacon's Rebellion. I know it's a lot of people, this is controversial with some black people, but there were, in fact, Irish slaves, not just indentured and servants and what have you, but all actually slaves. okay, there is history to document this. I don't know why some people who have these titles as historians or whatnot, or got degrees or whatnot, want to deny it, because I've seen the evidence for myself. Does it compare to the African enslavement? No. Okay, and this is why it doesn't compare, because the enslavement of the Irish and the other people that the English would subjugate to slavery and all other manners of evil, it did not go on as long in these colonies as, you know, the 100 years, 200, 300, 400 years that African enslavement, you know, took place. And how we got to that point was where it was only African only or black only enslavement was because of Bacon's Rebellion, where, you know, people, regardless of their racial classification, because they had not yet come up with racial classifications, but they rebelled together against the rich, the wealthy. Today there's a term for them called the 1%. And so they fought these people, and I guess, you know, some kind of truce was called, and the wealthy got the Irish to go ahead and stop the rebellion, stop working with Africans, and now we're going to make you honorary whites. You're going to, you know, we're no longer going to enslave your people from the nation of Ireland and all this and that, but you got to help us, you know, keep enslaving these black people. All right. You're going to get some privilege. You're not going to be white supremacists, but, you know, you're going to get some privileges and some benefits of being white, you know, like employment, in employment, you know, we'll give you a job before we'll give a non white person a job, and things of that nature. All right. So in order to keep that illusion going, they had to oppose Hitler, in my opinion, because Hitler was dispelling the myth of white supremacy, that he viewed other people that were classified as white in America as not being white, as not being pure Aryans. And you know, because again, when you I know that Hitler did write that he believed the Jews were a distinct race set apart from other Caucasians and Germans and whatnot, but that is he was wrong about that. All right, but those were white people. If you look at them, if you think about white people over here in America, looking at them and whatnot, they will see, you know, them as white because they're looking at the skin and whatnot. And so Hitler was showing that, you know, just because you have fair skin, just because, you know, you have straight hair or you have these certain, you know, features of a phenotype, we still don't classify you as being white enough. Okay, you're not white, and so we're going to exterminate you too, and what have you. So, you know, I believe that's the only reason that they had to put a stop to Hitler, because it took a long time for America even jump in the war and what have you. Now, I don't really want to get into, even though I share some information for you to consider, I don't even want to get into all the different corporations and business people, business titans and what have you, like Henry Ford or the Ford Motor Company, the you know, Rockefellers and all of that, and you know, the banking industry that helped the Nazi Party rise to power and what have you. So I don't want to go into that, but there is I do want to recommend a book about that, The Nazi Nexus, which was written by Edwin Black. Definitely check that out, America's Corporate Connections to Hitler's Holocaust. Okay, all right, so I'm saying even before World War II, all right, that these people were getting their ideals about white supremacy, about racial superiority, they was getting it from America. They were getting it from America. In fact, at the end of some of the Nuremberg trials, some of the Nazi cited programs in America, like some of the scientists involved in eugenics and sterilization and human experimentation, man, they cited stuff that was going on in America as to why they shouldn't be prosecuted and what have you. So, you know, when we look at the Nazis, man, I'm talking about the masses of people look at the Nazis because of media. And again, you know, like I stated earlier, Jewish people are the majority in the media industry, and they control a whole lot of media production and what have you. Okay, so of course it makes sense that the Nazi Party, which lasted what, about 4 or 5 years, 6 years maybe, okay, yeah, it would make them seem like the most despotic, the most evil regime ever known on the planet, ever known to mankind. The Nazis are, oh, if you're not, there's nothing lower than a Nazi. Most people think about that. You know, whenever you're talking about politicians and you know, people engage in name calling and what have you, you know, they compare them to Nazis. You know, you hear Donald Trump being compared to Nazis and what have you because of his rhetoric and whatnot. You know, but in fact, the worst of the worst is America. So, I mean, this goes to Donald Trump, make America great again. And the proper response that people gave was, when was America great? And people get upset about that and they freak out. But, you know, hey, that's because they don't know the truth. Some of them don't want to know the truth. I mean, if you are the descendants of such evil people who perpetrated worse evil than the Nazis for a far longer period of time, you wouldn't want to acknowledge that either, would you? Would you? No, you wouldn't be proud of that. I mean, I know there are some sick people who are proud of that kind of stuff, but for the most part, people try to hide those affiliations and those kind of sympathies and what have you for the Nazi Party and that kind of stuff. So of course they gonna hide it from all of us, but I mean it's just sick. And like Snoop Dogg was saying, what about the stuff, the abuse that we suffering now? Not just, you know, during that time period of slavery, but what about all the abuse that we suffering now? Where are the movies about that as well? I was thinking the other day, you know, why not, if you're going to update the story of Roots, which is a fictional story that was based on a book called The Africans, written by a white man, and it's not really the autobiography of Alex Haley. I hate to break it to people, I was kind of sad to see that too. Another brother get accused of plagiarism. But y'all need to look that up. But if I was going to make a remake, I was thinking about it, you know, of the story of Roots. First, I wouldn't even call it Roots, but I would have my Kunta Kinte would be somebody like Khalif Browder, kidnapped off the streets of New York, put into Rikers Island, a jail prison plantation, suffered all kind of abuse and horrors and whatnot and what have you. And then, you know, what it took to get him out of those, what, how long was he in there? 2 years a slave or something like that? 2 years? Then he gets out and just can't deal with the psychological damage, the post-traumatic slave disorder that he has. And he kills himself. So, I mean, you know, that's Roots right there, right? Kunta Kinte being kidnapped by these people and subjected to all kind of horrors and abuses and what have you. I mean, the story, there are a million stories that we can tell, a million of Roots. And I do feel people why they don't want to see the same thing over and over. And I've been hearing bad reviews from people who actually watched it. I can only stand 5 minutes of it. I saw somebody on Facebook said they watched it, and right off the bat, you know, they want to focus on the argument that Africans sold other Africans into slavery. Now, obviously, that did happen. Okay, we should not act like it didn't and make any kind of excuses. The people in Africa, not Ghana, not making excuses. In fact, to give reparations to the victims of that. They give you dual citizenship if you're a black African and you claiming you a descendant. I mean, excuse me, a black American and you claiming to be a descendant of enslaved Africans. You get dual citizenship just like that in Ghana. You can even get land in Ghana and repatriate back to Africa and live in Ghana. I know people who have done it. I don't think Ghana is the only country. I think there's another country, but the name escapes me. Okay, so, you know, we shouldn't have a problem acknowledging that. That still does not any way minimize, any way justify what the Europeans, the level that they took it to. But in its roots, that's what they were focusing on. Somebody said that saw that part of it. They said they turned it off too. That they putting, you know, the primary blame on the Africans who sold the other Africans to the Europeans who brought Kunta Kinte, you know, here. Like I mentioned the other day when, you know, I tuned into it for a couple of minutes, I'm seeing black on black violence, enslaved African fighting the other enslaved African because he's slowing them down and loading masses wagon and what have you. So, you know, let's not act like Snoop Dogg don't have a valid point, and let's not, you know, reduce Snoop Dogg to just being a pothead and who don't know nothing and is dumb and stupid because we, you know, some of us don't agree with his perspective on that issue. And I was really disappointed to see Roland Martin, you know, using derogatory terms to describe and try to invalidate Snoop Dogg's point of view simply because, you know, he smoked dope, all right? He smoked pot. He smoked weed. Weed does not damage your brain cells or anything like that, but, you know, seemed like Roland Martin wanted to engage in the same behavior of white people, white propagandists, racists, enslavers to demonize people who use cannabis. That's been going on for hundreds of years to justify the enslavement of people. So, you know, some of that respectability politics stuff, man, y'all need to keep that in your back pocket or something. But again, the American roots of Nazism of the Final Solution is America. So let's look at, you know, some of the historical stuff. So again, I do want to recommend that book, The Nazi Nexus. But I'm saying way before World War II broke out, you know, the Americans were working. Americans were working with the Nazis. Now, let me, one of the things I was thinking about was about after World War II, after, you know, all of these crimes against humanity that the Nazi Party engaged in Europe were brought to light, there were what occurred after the conclusion of that war? The Nuremberg trials, right? The war criminal trials. To put these people on trial, the international community put these people on trial for their, you know, horrendous crimes against human beings and what have you. Now, did that happen at the conclusion of the Civil War, where similar atrocities, violation of human rights and what have you happened to black people and specifically black soldiers in World War II? In the American Civil War, where black soldiers were not afforded the, Geneva Conventions or anything of that sort of, you know, even though the Geneva Conventions weren't out then. But the rules of warfare, there was no attempt. And this is why when I started thinking about this, I was like, now I really, really, really don't like Abraham Lincoln. The federal government, the union, none of them brought war crime charges against any of the war criminals in the Confederacy. And they was doing some sick stuff. I was reading this book that I had came across called, what was this book called? I'm sitting here. The Private Civil War. All right. And this book gathered, let's say, testimony from former Confederate soldiers and put it all in this book and what have you. And I'm going to read an excerpt from this book about the war crimes that these people were committing. All right. Shortly after the battle, they were talking about a battle. I forget the name of the battle, but it occurred here in North Carolina where I'm at. It might have been Milliken's Bend, if I'm not mistaken. Man, I think I just lost my place. Hold up. Black soldiers. Occasionally, a former slave who had enlisted in the Union Army was captured. Rebecca Davis of North Carolina reported one such instance. Several persons say they saw Mary Newell's Alfred at Plymouth. They say he begged to be sent to his mother, but he was shot, as all Negroes were who dressed up in Yankee uniforms, so I have heard. Alfred's having turned against his former benefactor probably sealed his fate. Such treachery on the part of formerly trusted servants enraged many Southerners and deafened them to cries of mercy. All right, let me get back to this other thing. This one particular passage was just so sickening to me about, let me back up. Okay, it is reported that General Mahone, we're talking about a Confederate soldier. This is after a battle that occurred in North Carolina. Shortly after the battle, North Carolina private Henry Biggs, see, we know the names of these people, son of a former United States senator, described the carnage. It is reported that General Mahone grew sick of the slaughter going on and begged his men to stop killing the Negroes. And I suppose on the strength of that, they captured 150 Negroes, he wrote. Biggs added, I should not have taken any of them, especially after they shouted no quarter, which they did when they mounted the breastworks. After the battle, another soldier reported that all black prisoners would have been killed had it not been for General Mahone, who begged our men to spare them. One of his comrades killed several blacks before General William Mahone told him, for God's sake, he replied, stop it. Well, General, let me kill one more. Whereupon he deliberately took out his pocket knife and cut one's throat. All right. It goes on to talk about many other war crimes and what have you. You know, we don't even know the full amount of the slaughter that occurred during this time period. And then shortly after the Civil War. And so, mind you, that all of this was going on prior to Hitler coming to power, prior to the Nazi Party forming its white supremacist ideology and what have you. America was the forerunner to all of that American style white supremacy that came out of the slave codes. These people are worse than any kind of Nazis. Now, people want to talk about what would the Jews do. I'll tell you what the Jews wouldn't do. The Jews would not be saluting Nazi flags, nor would they tolerate monuments to Nazi soldiers and things of that nature. But it seems that some of us black folks not only tolerate it, but we want these symbols to remain as, you know, symbols of a racist past and to remind us of the superiority of white people and what have you. That's crazy. But, you know, there are some people who was like, oh, well, that's not a priority. That's not this or that's we come up with excuses why not to confront the descendants of such evil people. So with the Nazi Party vanquished, America remains still practicing some of the same stuff that they taught, that the Nazis learned from this country. I mean, even the eugenics programs, there's documentation. I do need to take a station identification break. But, you know, I've talked about the history of North Carolina Hanes Corporation. They make the underwear that Michael Jordan does the commercials for. Here in North Carolina, that family used that wealth that they was making to promote the sterilization of black people and other people considered undesirable, just like Hitler was doing. Again, all of this preceded the Nazi Party. It was going on right here in the United States. They had these eugenics programs going on, and they were pushing these programs on an international basis. American eugenists are responsible for the rise of the eugenics society in Germany, foreshadowing the formation of the Nazi Party, leading directly to it. But yet, these people still are honored here in America. I don't see any statues to Hitler in Germany. I don't see people flying any type of the Nazi flag on any of the, you know, state flagpoles and cities and all of that. But all that's going on right here in America. So Snoop Dogg, right, we still suffering the abuse. Not that we needed Snoop Dogg to tell us that, but I mean, it's an accurate observation on his part. How is he dumb and stupid for that? So I'm going to take a station identification break. I do want to open up the phone lines. Anybody got any thoughts on this? I found out a whole lot more, like the origins of the Nazi salute being taught to American school children prior to, again, the Nazi Party. So, you know, if we want to talk about historic oppression and what have you, let's talk about all of it and connect the dots to how it's still impacting us to this very day. Again, slavery ain't never been abolished. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. The studio line is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to make a comment. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay tuned.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back again. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed on it, and on this broadcast from behind enemy lines. So but let me also say this, not just the Confederate flag but the American flag. Now, before I even knew as much as I know now, as a young man in high school, as a teenager, I was still a child, but I just would never, when they do the Pledge of Allegiance thing, man, I would stand up, but I'd keep my hands to my side and no hands over the heart or anything like that. No reciting the pledge. I was not doing that. And I wasn't the only one. The other black students around me, I would observe them. We were not into that. I don't know if we intuitively knew, you know, something was wrong with that, with you know, going along with the program and just doing what all these white folks doing around us, these other students who are being led and whatnot. So that American flag, you know what I'm saying? I you know, people do have a reason, a very valid reason to say, you know, it's worse than you know, the Confederate States of America when you look at the history behind it and what it's attached to. So, you know, again, the Jews wouldn't be saluting any kind of flag under which they people was oppressed. They wouldn't. But we non-white people here in America, not only black people, Native Americans who were slaughtered following the Civil War and what have you under the American flag, land stolen, Andrew Jackson, all of them, you know. So all of that, you know, occurred under that flag. So, you know, we want to talk stuff about Snoop Dogg, and you know, I just don't think that it is valid. Snoop Dogg engaged in a lot of stuff that's not constructive, but when somebody do say something, you know, that gets people to thinking about, you know, do I really want to keep watching the same programming over and over and over and over and over? And we should stop watching television shows and all that because it ain't being run by us. And it seems that they have an agenda to program our minds, and we just want to dismiss him because, you know, of gangster rap music he made as a young man, or him making Girls Gone Wild videos with the white dude who made millions of dollars off of that and paid Snoop Dogg to, you know, be in the videos. And so we just want to act like because he engaged in those things, then his point is invalid, when, you know, we've all made mistakes and got some growing to do and what have you. So let's talk about these companies, you know, American companies. Like, now, is IBM American? I'm not sure. Is it started in America or was it started in Germany? The computer company, I think it was started here in America. Now, I know I've heard a little something about their participation in the concentration camps, the work camps, the prison slave labor camps. All of that was occurring here in America as well. And American businesses participating in it. So it shouldn't shock anyone that American business would partner with Nazis. So, you know, let's just take a quick listen to the top 10 American companies that aided Hitler. So again, these roots are
in today's top 10 video, we're looking at the top America. 10 companies that aided the Nazis. And in at number 10, it's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola was a major presence in Nazi Germany, even though officials in the Reich were said to believe the stuff was too frivolous for the German character. Nevertheless, the very American nature of the product, wealth, flashy dreams, etc., appealed too much to the German public, and the stuff was kept around. It wasn't until 1942 that the company's presence in the nation was seriously threatened. Coca-Cola's hundreds of bottling plants in Germany were naturally cut off from the main American support when America entered World War II, but Max Keith, the representative of the company in Germany at the time, redubbed the product Fanta for Reich consumption. The bottling factories and processing plants were then used to provide Germany's citizens a key element to keep their energy up and support the war effort, a supply of sugar above what the government rationed to them. After the war, Keith, in an amazing display of company loyalty, turned over the wartime profits to the parent company when the Allied armies arrived, when surely the gigantic amount of inevitable post-war confusion and complication would have allowed him to sneak off with it. Number 9. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Prior to World War II, Germany had been one of America's most important film markets. As implied in the above entry, Germans had a bit of an obsession with a heavily romanticized vision of America, and as such, American film studios were willing to bend over backward to appease the German government. Even Warner Brothers, who developed a reputation for being the most anti-Nazi of major studios at the time, ordered that the word Jew be taken out from their movies and invited Nazi dignitaries to visit their studio. But the single greatest act of Nazi support was done by MGM after the invasion of Poland in 1939. They donated prints of 11 of their films to the German relief effort after the war with Poland began. These bewildering dreams of maintaining a market in Germany only died off after France and Britain's markets threatened to die out too in response to all this collusion with their enemy. Number 8. Chase Manhattan Bank. The Chase Manhattan Bank form of colluding with the Reich was particularly heinous. Because Carlos Neidermann, Chase's representative in Paris, had a very good personal connection with the Nazis, he agreed to their requests that the bank seize the assets of at least 100 Parisian Jews that were considered especially worth pursuing by the Reich. This doubtless helped the Gestapo capture these people. Chase Manhattan was hardly alone in this, though. In 1998, the company was part of a suit demanding reparations from J.P. Morgan and Citibank for the millions of dollars stolen. In the end, the payouts were $200 a month. The survivors and descendants had to fight to not have large amounts of the payments eaten up by wire transfer fees. Number 7. Dow Chemical. It's not too much of a stretch for many people to imagine oil companies collaborating with evil people. We are used to the mental image of oil companies being willing to prop up evil dictators to have access to petroleum and similar atrocities. Dow Chemical was one of the companies that provided an insane amount of materials for the Nazis, including not only raw materials, but also American technological innovations in regards to oil refinery. The contributions were so extreme that it allowed the Nazis to forego their previous quotas to accommodate the influx. This indicates the Nazis were taken by surprise in regard to how much material they received from these American companies. No wonder they were able to achieve the massive armament build-up that they did. Number 7. Brown Brothers Harriman. During the early 1930s, Fritz Thyssen ran a business that he used to help finance Adolf Hitler's rise to power. Brown Brothers Harriman was a subsidiary company that he used as a base of American operations. This collusion is of particular note because it was integral to the basis of the claim that Prescott Bush, father of ex-President George Bush, and of course grandfather to ex-President George W. Bush, supported the Third Reich. He was on the board of directors for BBH, and in 1942 the company's assets were seized by the federal government. Suspicions then arose that some assets were taken as part of the Bush family fortune. These, among other reasons, came to light in 2003 as part of the presidential campaign to make it appear that the Bush family owed their fortune to Nazi activities. It really does seem like the sort of discovery an opposing campaign team would dream about making in regards to their opponent, not that it ultimately helped much. Number 5. Woolworth. In 1933, 1.25% of the company's entire inventory came from Germany, but most of it was in the form of trinkets, like Christmas decorations. At the time, even that led to protests in America because news was coming from Germany that the Reich was beginning its public persecution of the Jews. When Woolworth conceded to public pressure and removed the offending items from its stock, it caused protests over in Germany over the abuse of their hospitality. What was significant about Woolworth's interaction with the Nazis was a horrible thing that Woolworth did that ultimately lent legitimacy to their notorious anti-Semitism. Woolworth fired all of its Jewish employees. This won them the designation Ade für Zeichen, an award reserved for the companies that were pure Aryan. Most likely, Woolworth doesn't advertise their products with that seal of approval. Number 4. Alcoa. Alcoa is now the third largest aluminium producer in the world. Back in 1941, it was much more powerful. It had a monopoly on aluminium, in addition to owning a massive amount of America's electricity production and other minerals. Before America declared war on Germany, it sent so much of its aluminium product to Germany that the country made upwards of 60% more aluminium products than America. When the US's involvement in the war began, there was a massive aluminium production shortage in America, in no small part because of Alcoa's monopoly. Alcoa essentially sold the Axis powers much of the material to build their war machines and a reprieve from the American war machine. Number 3. Ford Motor Company. When Hitler pays tribute to you in his biography and keeps a portrait of you in his office, it will be hard for you to claim that you did not have some connection to him. However, Henry Ford didn't seem particularly inclined to distance his company or himself from the Nazis anyway, since he accepted Germany's highest honor freely and never returned the award while Hitler was alive. He was a committee member of the America First Association, which advocated America to stay out of World War II. In 1998, it came out that the Third Reich was providing Ford's factory in Cologne with 1,200 Russian slaves, a potential form of compensation. Number 2. General Motors. Similar to their automotive rivals, General Motors was sued by Holocaust survivors for assisting the Nazi war machine. Beginning in 1935, GM built a factory in Berlin for the purpose of building Blitz trucks for the Wehrmacht. Ford began building similar trucks around the same time, but GM was the number one producer of the vehicles that were vital for the quick conquests of Poland, France, and much of the Soviet Union. Albert Speer, the Minister of Armaments and War Production, claimed that the rubber GM supplied was the key to the ability of the Germans to wage the war the way they did. Inevitably, when America declared war on Germany, the Reich seized GM's German production facilities. Although neither Ford nor General Motors ever fully conceded that they had willingly participated in the use of slave labor, they were both massive contributors to a fund started in 2000 for Holocaust survivors. Number 1. International Business Machines. In 1933, International Business Machines began providing Germany with punch card machines that functioned as precursors to modern computers and databases. Documents have since been uncovered that show that as late as 1941, IBM was working in tandem with the Reich to liquidate Jews from Holland. IBM's employees were training SS personnel how to use their machines to record the movement, sorting, and mass execution of large numbers of undesirables, at times right in the headquarters of death camps. These machines, however, remained IBM property at all time. In 2002, IBM was sued by five gypsies to collect reparations because their parents had been killed during the Holocaust. After 4 years of legal discussion, the case was dismissed due to the statute of limitations. So I really hope you enjoyed that video, and I'd love to know what you think of it, so please leave a comment below. I'm also going to link over to another video that you might...
All right, we're going to stop it there. And so, again, as I was watching that, and listening to what he was saying and some of the tactics of the victims to sue these different companies and what have you, why haven't we done that? I know there's been some efforts in the reparation movement to identify these companies and what have you. And in fact, many of them have been identified and are still in operation today. And, you know, as they mentioned, slave labor being used by, you know, supplied by the Nazis to these various companies. Well, think about today when again, Snoop Dogg said we still being abused today, you know, that all of these corporations that are involved in modern day slavery and human trafficking right here in America. Yesterday, well, last night rather, I was just thinking about how I hear some black people when they defend their support for Hillary Clinton, and they say, you know, during the Clinton administration, everybody had a job and the economy was good and people had money in their pocket. And so I kind of like suspected, but I really didn't pursue the line of thought that the reason for the economic boom during the Clinton years was because of the increase in mass incarceration, aka modern day slavery. Putting all these slave catchers on the street obviously is going to result in more slaves being put in on the prison plantation and what have you. And so then, you know, I also remember people talk about, well, you know, there was a tech bubble that was going on during that time. And that's why the economy, you know, kind of took off because of technology and what have you. Well, I came across this article last night that was talking about, you know, most of the tech, all these tech companies, Microsoft, IBM, the one that you just heard about, worked with the Nazis to make those punch cards and what have you. Texas Instruments, if I can remember some of the other ones, but all of these tech companies, Silicon Valley, as they call it, using prison slave labor. They and they had more access to this prison slave labor during the 90s. So there's your tech bubble right there. They got access to all of this slave labor to where they didn't have to pay, you know, people who are not on the modern day prison plantations a livable wage or even minimum wage. I mean, why pay somebody, what's the minimum wage? I don't know what it was during the 90s, but let's just say it was $8 an hour. Why pay somebody $8 an hour when you can pay them 25 cents a day for a full 8 hour, you know, 8 hours worth of work and what have you? Slave wages. So again, the Nazi Party, what happened in Germany was horrible, but they don't hold a candle to so-called America, to so-called the United States of America. When you take the long view of history, those estimated 11 million people, it's not even a drop in the bucket to the hundreds of millions, perhaps a billion people who are dead because of United States government policies and what have you. All of this is going on today. United States government operates a slave plantation right now called Unicor. So it's important to know this history, to make the connections, and to share it with others, because you're not going to get no Hollywood movies made about that, about this kind of stuff. Well, let me see. Today, let me make sure, because today is Thursday. We do have a number of live shows planned for you today on Black Talk Radio. Tando Radio Show should be doing another broadcast of Wise Wednesdays, considering yesterday they was having those technical issues. Blacks in Business Radio comes on at 8 o'clock. Still waiting to hear from them. So if you're not subscribed to Black Talk Radio Network, just go to the website blacktalkradionetwork.com. there's a subscription right there on the right hand panel where you can subscribe, and you'll get an instant update of all the programming that's coming up on the network, not just from this station, but from the other independent stations as well that utilize our network. All right, well, that's pretty much all I got for you. The roots of Nazism is in America. Plain and simple. So, I mean, nobody should be surprised that American companies and Americans will help the Nazis, because look at what they have been doing to black people and other non-white people for hundreds of years. Hell, during that time, they were also erecting all of these Confederate, you know, monuments to evil people. So, you know, shit. Got a lot of cleaning up to do in this society. All right, so I'll be back on air tomorrow. I do believe we will have a guest to talk about the upcoming 50th anniversary and the fundraising campaign for the Black Panther Party. Remember, this November will be its 50th anniversary of when it was founded in 1966 in Oakland, California, by Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton. And so we will have a guest speaker tomorrow to talk about that 50th anniversary and the fundraising campaign that they got going on. So I hope that you all will tune in and tell others to tune in to Black Talk Radio News this Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., place that continues to practice slavery. Still, we have institutionalized racism and whatnot, and you know, it's just a horrible place to live, man. I mean, some places in America is better to live than others, but there is just a whole lot of inhumane things being done to people, and we got to bring it to an end. Again, I submit to you that slavery is the disease. Everything else is a symptom. That once we abolish slavery, then, you know, we will see some improvement in this society. As long as, you know, we keep allowing slavery to be practiced, then damn. I mean, that's one of the worst things that you can do to another human being. So if we stand around and allow slavery to happen, then, I mean, come on. Is it realistic to think that we're going to do anything about these other ills? So, like in the words of Max Parthas, we should rise up and end slavery. So until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.